independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texans should have the first pick of the draft, April 27th. Can we start the countdown to when the pick needs to be in? April 27th, first round NFL draft. Of course, the Texans don't have that locked up. Brendan, whenever he went to break, says if the Texans don't have the number one pick, then something has gone terribly wrong.
Do you realize how hard it would be for them to fall out of the number one pick at this point?
Not really.
It's not that bad.
They got to win two games.
They got the Jags.
Have you watched this team?
They got the Jags. Yes, I've watched this team probably more than anybody, and I'm embarrassed to say that I have.
And to be clear, they got to win two games, and that's only if there's only three teams left with three wins or less. If each of those teams gets one win, the Texans can win two and still pick first.
Texans are going to win this week against Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. Like, the Texans are going to be up for this game.
There was a time when I thought they could win this game.
I think
that time
they,
is past.
What is? I haven't seen the spread for this game. I'm sure if I had a guess, it's probably what? About a touchdown? Maybe 6.5?
7 is what I see on my first look.
Not bad, Branham. I don't think the Texans are going to win, but do they get up to play this game? Are they within a field goal leg? Can they sneak it out? I think that this is maybe one of their most winnable games, actually, even though I think the Browns are good as an opponent. You got Cleveland, you're at Dallas, home for Kansas City, at Tennessee, home for Jacksonville, at Indy. I mean, this week against Cleveland, like with the Russ factor, with the, you know, Deshaun coming back factor, the crowd, I mean, it's going to be your best crowd all year. All 50% of that crowd is going to be, you know,
I think it might be more than that.
Maybe. I mean, but you get my, I was making a joke.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But, like, this is, I think that there is a chance that the Texans could win. There's a chance every week. But I think it's I think it's their third most winnable game
this
left.
This is that one game where no matter, we throw all the stats and the records out because the emotions are going to ride so high that a team can find a way to get up for it and stay competitive for it. But even still, like at the start of the season, I was looking at this going, that's a game that I could easily see them winning because of that emotional factor and because I thought they were going to be a better football team.
Yeah.
But looking at it where I'm looking at it now, I look at it and say, you're absolutely right. First thing I thought about was, as much as everybody completely anointed Deshaun to take his rightful place of 2 years ago as a top 10 quarterback and go, nah, there's going to be rust. We don't know how much he's going to have to try and get back and find and regain that he lost over the, you know, not playing football and being hit and doing all those things. But overall, this roster's so bad, and you just made a quarterback change on top of it, and your coach looks like he's totally melting down and freaking out, and your offensive coordinator isn't coordinating a whole lot of offense. I completely feel differently than I did before the season, looking at this game now going, I think they could get their doors blown off.
Yeah, so we think that the Texans are going to have the number one pick. We feel pretty confident about it. Brendan feels incredibly confident about the Texans having the number one overall pick. And we know what's there at the top of the draft. I think we're both Bryce Young guys.
Yep.
There's a pocket of people that really like C.J. Stroud. I think Will Levis is going to be a darling to a lot of NFL GMs and scouts. And I think it's going to tick off a lot of fans whenever he's drafted as high as Will Levis gets drafted. I think people are going to be annoyed by that, especially if it's the Houston Texans. But the first pick, is it untouchable to you, or would you be open to trading out of it?
I think that the bigger thing is a discussion that we've had multiple times on this show, because we try to be as forward-thinking and open to every possibility, and that is the fact that if Caserio isn't a Bryce Young guy, and he won't get off, and he's adamant about the fact that he can't move on from the size being a factor and the lack of size being a reason why, no matter what else intangibly and otherwise Bryce Young brings to the table, that he can't get on board with making that pick. And he knows that Levis has all the measurables, but he has concerns about him picking up the intangibles. And maybe the same thing with C.J. Stroud, that he could say, hey, look, if I'm not enamored with any one guy, and I've got to be enamored with one guy, when I have the number one overall pick in the draft, I've got to get the guy that I want. Otherwise, there's too many key and important positions to fill and too much quality at the top of this draft to where I could see them saying, and he could say, my guy's not there this year, and I'm not going to make that pick.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it depends on your scout, right? Like, if the quarterback that's there at the top of the class, I personally love Bryce Young. I would be kicking myself if I traded down and then Bryce Young turns out to be unbelievable. But at the same time, the Texans are so far away. They have so many holes to fill. And the best way to fill those holes as quickly as you possibly can is by acquiring tons of draft capital and trying to hit on as many picks as you
possibly
can.
But would you agree, no matter who they take and what position he plays, he has to be an impact player? He has to.
Well, I mean, if you're picking number one and you're trading down from number one, if you don't get an impact player, you should probably be fired.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you see what I'm saying, though, in terms of if it's not going to be a quarterback that could be the guy that you know is like so hit, not miss, that he's going to be a guy for your franchise for a long period of time. If you decide, I'm not doing that, I'm not going that route, whether it's a defensive end or it's a wide receiver or whoever else you take, you've got to make sure that's a guy that's going to be here for a long time. You've got to really make sure you analyze the talent and know that you're moving on for a guy that could be as maybe not as impactful as a quarterback, but have a long-term and really strong, massive impact on your franchise.
Yeah, but I mean, that should be an automatic. Like, that shouldn't be something that you're thinking about. Like, you should have, like, your tiers, right? Where if you feel like there's seven impact players, you know, using the way that you described it, then you probably don't trade below number seven. Like, you trade yourself to the brink of that, adding draft capital, et cetera, et cetera. And Casario's talked about this in the past, how they have everything kind of in tiers. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, that factors in. I wouldn't be opposed to a trade down. Now, I would be watching Bryce Young for the rest of his career very, very closely. But I can't really be mad at a guy for trying to get maximum value for a number one pick. If you can just rip somebody off and get three first rounders or something nuts like that, I feel like you have to do it, especially with where you are with this organization and with this roster. One other thing I think you have to think about as well is that, and look, I'm not trying to plan for the 2024 draft whatsoever, but unlike the Rockets, who don't have their draft picks, at least unless they're like top four, they have like top four protection, the Houston Texans still have two first-round draft picks in 2024. So you're running to the end of your draft capital. You have an opportunity. If you have two first-round draft picks in 2024, you have the ammunition to go out and find somebody that you desire, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's any other position. So you aren't in a spot. I want a franchise quarterback. I think it's the best thing that could happen for this organization. But you're not in a spot where you're over the barrel where you have to draft a franchise quarterback in
23. No, I think the one thing that you didn't bring up, though, that is also something that they factor in, too, and because it's Casario, and because, like we said, whether it's fair or not, he is going to shoulder making a lot of bad decisions, especially when it relates to head coaches and some of the trades he's made and some of the other things, to where if he trades down, and like you said, and then Bryce Young excels, I mean, that could be the end. That could be the one that makes the difference in him having his job or not having his job. Whereas if you get the number one overall pick and you go quarterback, everybody goes, well, you had to do that. That was the logical choice. So he's not going to get the blame and take.
Oh, I disagree about that. Like, he's already getting more and more of a hot seat. Like, what you do with this pick might either like make or break Nick Casario, actually.
See, I think that if the consensus is from all the draft experts and all the workouts and after everything's done, that Bryce Young is head and shoulders the number one quarterback on the board for this draft class, and he takes him at number one overall, I don't think he gets hammered as much as if he trades down and Bryce Young excels, and then on top of that, whoever he trades for doesn't turn out to be the kind of players that you need to get at that position.
Whoever drafted Ryan Leaf at number two took grief for taking Ryan Leaf at number two, and people thought he should have went number one.
But there were two quarterbacks in that draft that were neck and neck.
Yeah, but you didn't pick Leaf over Manning.
You didn't, right? But that, I mean, that's where something you could scrutinize later. But I'm saying if this is in this draft, you scrutinize it and say, but if Bryce Young is head and shoulders the best, like he is a not like you say in tiers, if he is. Clearly a tier above Stroud and Levis and anybody else.
It's like Jacksonville taking Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, right, right. So if you took Trevor Lawrence and then it turns out that he busts or he's not the guy you think it is, I mean, somewhere down the line you're going to pay the price, but I don't think you're going to pay the immediate price and the scrutiny's not going to be as great. I think that in this case,
I think the scrutiny is a good way to say it. Like the public reaction to if you trade out of number one, Bryce Young's a superstar, people are going to criticize you for that immediately. In terms of like his job security,
right.
I think whatever he does here is going to be make or break for his career as the GM of the Texans.
Man, I just think having a 6-year deal and just seeing how Cal operates, not knowing him, but seeing how he operates, I still think that.
How does he operate? Because I think that people think that Cal McNair, because of one individual, Jack Easterby, that because of his loyalty to him, that Cal is like reluctant to fire people, which I don't believe that to be the case at all. Cal actually did fire Jack Easterby.
No, I was going to say that I think that because of the way I think he operates, which is he stays so far out of it,
Does he, though? Because, like, he gave Bill O'Brien all GM power and then fired him after four games.
But he gave him for too long of a time, in a lot of people's opinion.
Hold on, too long of a time for what? Because he went to the playoffs and almost beat Kansas City the year before he got fired four games into the season.
But he still had missteps along the way, and he still had things that people were bringing up some red flags going, is he the right guy for this job? And then he gave him the general manager's job and took out a guy that his dad was very fond of in Rick Smith.
See, I think that was a power move. Like, Rick Smith was already long gone before that. He got rid of Brian Gain, which was, again, cutthroat. Getting rid of Brian Gain, like, pretty quickly into his tenure. And then Bill O'Brien, I know that Bill O'Brien, a lot of people didn't like Bill O'Brien.
Are you saying Cal got rid of Brian Gain?
Well, somebody got rid of Brian Gain.
I think Bill O'Brien got rid of Brian Gain.
Maybe. Or Cal McNair might have said, okay, Bill O'Brien, you want all this power. You don't like any of your general managers. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you the general manager. You have all power, but with great power comes great responsibility. If you suck, you're going to get fired. And he fired him four games into the season after he went to the second round of the AFC playoffs. That's not a guy who's given a long leash.
Okay. I see it differently. I see it as a guy that's been so hands-off that he lets other guys do all the football operations, and he gives them such a long leash that it takes probably too long to figure out that they're the wrong guy to be there. And I think that's why I think Caserio will survive this for the majority of his contract. He's got a 6-year deal. I don't know that Caserio is going to get fired before 4 years or 5 years.
But look back at the general managers. I want to look back at the general managers of the Houston Texans and, like, put this, like, theory to the test. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Is Cal McNair loyal? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I disagree with Blanker's notion that Cal just kind of stays out of the way and doesn't get rid of people. Cal probably started to be more involved in decision-making, like, late in his father's life, right? And Bob died in late 2018. So, and we understand that he wasn't doing well for most of that year. So, like, somewhere in the 18 year, Cal became more involved, more influence, more, you know, running the Texans operation, things like that. The Texans have had three general managers since 2018. Brian Gain was one of them, and Brian Gain had, like, a cup of coffee as the general manager here and then was let go as the general manager here. Kind of got a raw deal, quite frankly. Bill O'Brien then got promoted to the GM of the Houston Texans and was the GM for about a year and then got fired four games into a season in which he came off a year where they went to the playoffs. You want to look at some of the other moves that have been made with the Texans. David Culley lasted a year. We're looking at Lovie Smith maybe lasting a year. The only one that he's ever really been loyal to was Jack Easterby. When everybody wanted him to fire Jack Easterby, eventually did. Now, it was way after anybody wanted him to. I don't really agree with the loyalty factor with Cal.
You don't have to. I don't use it as a loyalty factor. I just use it whether you say that he doesn't want to be involved in it or he accepts the fact that he isn't as knowledgeable and hands-on with it like his dad was. But the people that I know that were internal said that Bill O'Brien actually hired his guy in Brian Gain, and then because of a disagreements that really came to a head over Jadeveon Clowney, Bill O'Brien decided that he isn't my guy anymore, and he fired Brian Gain. And that the only thing that really got Bill O'Brien in hot water was Jack Easterby, who Bill O'Brien brought into the organization. And at a certain point, it was Jack having Cal's ear and saying, hey, I've talked to the players. The players are very disgruntled. They are very, very upset. They don't like the way Bill O'Brien's doing things anymore. They brought up examples. He was the guy that kind of was the messenger that put it all in front of Cal, and then they made said decision. But I think that it also was, like, to your point about it coming to a head, there were other things, even when he was just the coach and when he was involved in the process of, one, either moving on from Rick Smith and or bringing in Brian Gain, that had kind of set the table. But when he took over and he traded DeAndre Hopkins, and you're right, they came off of what that debacle in Kansas City, but they looked like they were going to be a team to be reckoned with. But then you trade DeAndre Hopkins and some of the other things that went with it. Jack was with him. He was responsible. And then the move was made. But I think it was more Jack pushing Cal than it was Cal saying, it's not, I can't, you know, as a general manager, you're failing and I've got to get rid of you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, It could be the case, but general managers since 2018 haven't had a long shelf life
with
the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. Now, Easterby was involved. It was employed. How much power did he have firing Brian Gain, firing Bill O'Brien? I guess we'll never really know. There hasn't been a long tenure in terms of the GMs, though, under Cal McNair. I don't really find him as somebody who's just going to let something go on for a really long time. I mean, the obvious pushback to that would be Doug Easterby. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. I mean, he fired him.
He did, but again,
like, a lot of people thought he was going to survive the year.
But think about, like, he fired him after all he took so many bullets over Jack Easterby and stayed loyal to him until he finally moved on from him. And we don't know what it took to finally move on from him. But there were so many people that thought this dude is going to survive us all. He's going to be with Cal as long as Cal's with the team. And then all of a sudden he wasn't. But in my mind, I think he still was, in that case, he was too loyal to Jack Easterby, stuck with him too long.
I mean, he stripped him of all power. Like
we think, right?
Did Nick do that? Did he do that?
We don't know the internal workings of how that actually came to fruition, but eventually he was, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Why are we still talking about Jack Easterby?
Well, I mean, it's part of the overall bigger picture conversation because you have to question, like, Jack Easterby coming in and having all the power that he did at a certain time and being able to get the team playing and say, Cal, you're coming with me. We're going to talk to this guy. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Or we're going to get rid of Bill O'Brien, and Cal going, okay.
It's pretty wild they got rid of Bill O'Brien when they got rid of him. And I'm not one to advocate for Bill O'Brien because I think Bill O'Brien was over – let's see, how's the right way to say this? I feel like he underachieved for rosters that he had. His resume at the end of the day, like he won four division titles in six full years. It's hard to say that he was lousy as a coach, but watching it, taking it all into context, watching it play out day to day, I think he underachieved with the rosters that he had. I feel that Cal McNair, whenever Bill O'Brien was making so much noise about Brian Gain, and look, Easterby, could he have played a role, had Bill O'Brien's ear at the time, could have Cal's ear at the time, whatever. I think Cal, to a point, said, look, I'm tired of Bill O'Brien, Brian Gain beefing. I'm going to give you, Bill O'Brien, all GM power. You can use Easterby however you want, and then how it plays out is going to define your career as a Houston Texan. Whenever he traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson, a second rounder and a bag of chips, when he started 0-4 the very next year, Cal said, I don't know how much Easterby was involved here. Cal said, look, Bill, I gave you the rope and you hung yourself. I think that's what happened. I think that Cal could do the very same thing to Nick Caserio in this next coaching carousel.
It's possible. Look, I think that the way that it all played out here is like the exact opposite when we were talking about Nick Caserio 2 years ago. He said, don't judge me by wins and losses. Judge me by seeing development and seeing this and the players and things like that. I think this was on the flip side of that. Bill O'Brien, if you judge him just by wins and losses, he was a successful coach. But when you judge him by the locker room and you judge him by the relationships with his best players and or...
Well, I think that's unfair. JJ didn't dislike him. Deshaun loved him. There was one best player in specifically talking about DeAndre Hopkins. Everybody else liked O'Brien.
Early on, they did. I mean, throughout a lot of the...
But Deshaun tenure, liked him to the end.
That's fine. But I'm saying that there's still... It started to be a growing concern. It wasn't just one or two guys. It wasn't just Hopkins. It eventually became to a thing that was building to a crescendo in which there was a majority of the locker room that said, this dude, I can't take this dude anymore.
I don't know if I can give you majority. Like, I can give you DeAndre.
JJ turned on him eventually.
Then they argued in the year that he got fired, whenever he got fired 4 games into the year, the last year, they had a little bit of a shouting match at practice, and Weaver was involved in all of that. It got dysfunctional.
It did.
In that final year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where Jack was the messenger. Jack started saying, hey, you guys give me all your beefs and your concerns and what's happened. I'll take them to Cal. And then he took them to Cal, and Cal made the move.
Yeah. Nick Caserio, the GM right now, is the first pick untouchable, or would you be open to trading out of it, having that conversation? Look, I think if you get blown away, we're kind of on the same side of this, that you'd be kind of foolish not to trade out of it. But how do the quarterbacks in this class, everybody's going to tell you Bryce Young, everybody's going to tell you C.J. Stroud, scouts are going to love Will Levis, I'm just forewarning you on that, how do the quarterbacks in the class, though, specifically impact that? If you fall in love with a quarterback, but maybe, like, let's say you fall in love with Bryce Young, but you give him a number 4 pick grade. Like, Jalen Carter has a better grade. Willie Anderson has a better grade. How much, like, you could fall in love with a quarterback who has your number 4 big board grade, and pass for that quarterback, pass that quarterback because you want to trade down. So how much do the quarterbacks in this class specifically impact trading down potentially?
Well, I think the other thing, though, is what your needs as a franchise, right? We know that the need is glaring for a quarterback. Like, would you love to have an impactful defensive player? Sure. But in terms of, like, we talk about tiers, the tier from this franchise is that quarterback at that position is so important that I think that factors in,
yep.
And I think that's a big factor because as this conversation, I'm curious too because I want to put this to bed. Also, I think the other thing that we're talking about is this class because there's so many people going, you just pass on everybody, and when we ask the question, everybody's saying, well, just pass and go get Caleb next year. You can't guarantee you're going to have a pick and be in position to go get the guy that you want next year.
I want to remind you guys. The reason that I think that part of the question is interesting is, like, how does this class impact your feelings on trading? Is that last year we spent all season, all offseason begging to trade back.
Yeah, we did.
All offseason.
The quarterback matters, obviously. The quarterback obviously matters.
No, it does. But I am asking you, like, where are you guys on this year's quarterback class? Do you want them to trade back? Like, how does it impact your willingness to trade back?
My answer to this is always a canned answer that no one loves to hear because it's not hot takey. It depends on the return. Like, my return is I move back three spots and all I get is a fourth rounder, obviously I want to take the quarterback. The quarterback is the most important position in sports, that and the best player on an NBA basketball team.
Do you think there can be a quarterback who you love so much that there's no package that you would be willing to take?
I would take a great package for Tom Brady. Like, I don't believe that that player exists. There is a price for literally every single player. If you can absolutely get whatever you want for player X, you get whatever you want for player X, even if you think he's the best prospect that's ever come into the NFL.
Like, I don't think there's a package for Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there's any package at all for Patrick Mahomes. So I understand that big deals have been made before and that a Herschel Walker and that deal or a Ricky Williams or deals like that are made, and it's franchise changing and it sets you up for a path of, you know, a plethora of draft picks and success for an extended period of time. But for like a guy like a Mahomes, an impactful, like, just, I mean, he's over decades now. You're going to look at him and go, this guy is one of the better players to ever play the position. I don't think there's a package that's great enough to get to pry him away from Kansas City.
But what's interesting, because that's a good answer. I think it's the best answer. He went 10th in the draft.
He did.
He went 10th in the draft. So, like, Pat Mahomes coming into the draft wasn't Pat Mahomes. Like, no one thought he was going to be the greatest quarterback. Some people are saying the greatest quarterback ever. And that dude slipped to 10. Wasn't even the first quarterback taken in that draft.
Well, and it's a deeper conversation we've said about how great your player, analyzing of players has to be and your scouting staff and everything like that. But it's also the fact that we're talking about it saying that once he's established himself as being the Patrick Mahomes he is now, I don't think there's a package great enough to get him. But it's also optimistically saying, look, there's numerous quarterbacks that could be. Look at Josh Allen. The knock on him when he came out was big kid, strong kid, can run, can't throw. I don't know what he could ever be in the NFL. He could be okay. He could be pretty good. He's better than pretty good.
713-780-ESPN is the first pick untouchable. Would you be open to trading out of it? And how much do the quarterbacks, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, I know you're not going to say Will Levis, but how much do they impact that? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We're a couple of days out of December. And whenever you start to hear the month December, it means you need to start getting your Christmas shopping done. If you have a kid who likes basketball, I have just the gift for you. A goal from ProDunk Hoops. It's the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard. It gives you that true, authentic feel. Look, it's fun. It's fun to have a goal from ProDunk Hoops out on the driveway, out in the front yard. Adjustable goals, too, for every part of the game. So you can have tons of fun with it. You can lower it down, throw down some jams. If you want to work on your shot, we'll raise it up to regulation. If you are throwing down some jams, keep in mind ProDunk Hoops will keep you safe. How? Their competition-grade breakaway rim. It's perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. Also, another caveat that they have that's able to keep you safe, an extended overhang. You keep a clear path under the rim. Don't have to worry about coming crashing down into that basketball stanchion that's sometimes inches away from the bottom of that rim. Make sure you have that extended overhang. Also, durability is a strength of ProDunk Hoops. You don't have to worry about their strength. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, exclusive rust armor, which makes them sturdy and strong. You might be a little worried, right? It might be daunting to set up that goal, especially one that's so sturdy and strong and so good from ProDunk Hoops. They'll install the goal. So how are you not sold? The pros at ProDunk Hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. They'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Is the first pick untouchable? Would you be open to trading out of it? How do the quarterbacks in this class specifically impact that? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, LSU Brian. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, LSU, Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, so I got an opinion on this, and I have a feeling you might agree with me because you're on board with Embrace the Suck. But so this team, we all know they're years away from competing. The quickest way to get there is with more draft picks. If you get rid of the number one pick this year, you're going to get, I don't know, y'all can answer that when I hang up, multiple other first rounds, maybe some seconds in there. So with your pick, which is going to be a high draft pick, whoever gives you those picks for the number one, you also got the Browns. That's the quickest way to rebuild the roster, period. And a bonus would be if you could get Caleb Williams next year, which everyone's projected, it seems like, is going to be better than Stroud or Bryce. So how many picks y'all actually think we could get for that?
Appreciate the call, LSU, Brian. The problem that I have with 2024 is that you can't guarantee anything right in 2024. Like right now, you can start to look ahead to the 2023 draft and say that the Houston Texans are going to have the number one pick. Brendan thinks it'd be a miracle if they do not. It's going to require at least two more wins. And right now, it seems like the Texans winning two games the rest of the way would be a minor miracle, a miracle on 34th Street, a miracle on Kirby Drive, so that we can kind of start penciling in the Texans to the top of the 2023 draft. You really can't do that in 2024. The easiest way to get Caleb Williams is that you basically trade, the easiest way to like guarantee it, you trade your pick, the Browns pick, for Caleb Williams, and now you're talking about a trade-up, and you're kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth, where you're trading down in 23, but you're trading up in 2024. I can't allow my mind to go there.
And you got
to
get a team that's going to cooperate.
Right.
You might get a team that wants a quarterback that just says, no matter what, I'm not giving up the pick.
AKA what I think the Texans could be.
The Texans this could year. Be this year.
Where right.
What do you mean?
I think it could be very, very difficult if teams go, hey, we were waiting for Bryce Young. He's the guy we were waiting for.
Yeah.
They call the Texans, go, hey, we want your pick. They go, wait, no, we want him.
See, the Texans are in a spot, though, where, like, I was going to use the Lions as the example. Like, the Lions, I think, could win right now if they had a really good quarterback. I think they would be a playoff team if they had a really good quarterback. So were the Lions, if for some reason, let's say Denver ends up with the number one pick, which now belongs, or I'm sorry, the Rams have the number one pick, which of course now belongs to Detroit because of the Stafford trade. If Detroit's picking at number one, it's going to be harder for them to move out of number one because they're just going to take the best quarterback, put them on a loaded roster, and be a playoff team for the next decade. Whereas the Houston Texans taking a quarterback right now, I can't assure that they're going to ensure that they're going to be a playoff team for the next decade.
No, the thing that is always I've been harping on when everybody looks at Caleb Williams is the bigger aspect that I brought up to you, which is I don't think that it's no matter what you offer, and you could throw the kitchen sink at a said team. If they have the number one pick, they need a quarterback, and they believe that Caleb Williams is their guy, and you somehow, some way, don't have the number one pick a year from now, there's no guarantees you can get the guy that you actually want. Here, at least, if they're, you know, you have the number one pick, you control the entire draft, it's all up to you. But it's all about supply and demand. So in terms of his question and what can you get for him, it depends on how many teams have the Brendan mentality of, I've been waiting for Bryce Young. I want Bryce Young. Well, you need a couple of teams to say, I'm willing to give up the house and the kitchen sink for Bryce Young. Well, then you beat Team B. What are you willing to give up? The farm, the house, and the sink? And you can try and get that and understand, this is what I can get for this pick. I don't think you can determine that right now because you don't know how many teams are going to be that enamored with Bryce Young that need a quarterback that have the draft capital to get what you want.
Where are you guys at on Bryce Young?
I think that he could be... Okay.
You both seem more open to trading the pick than I would be.
I'm not open. I like Bryce Young a lot.
I think Bryce Young could be the next Steve Young. So I think highly of Bryce Young.
It would take so much to get me to move off of that pick.
Yeah. See, that's where it comes to the price. Like, if I'm getting an additional pick in the 20s, like if I get number 3 and 27 for pick number 1, that's going to be hard for me.
As long
right?
as Probably I'm not, not missing something, and obviously there's so much time and so many people that have input and so many workouts that still have to happen. But as long as I'm not missing something and everybody else is on board too, and Bryce, everything I've seen is Bryce Young should be the guy. He should be the guy for the Houston Texans, and he should be a guy that you can basically pencil in as your starting quarterback and your franchise quarterback for the foreseeable future. So as long as that's the case, I don't want to move off of him. And no matter what else I do or I could do or how many teams could be interested in him, I think that is too good of a pick to move on from. That's why I said, God, well before we even entered last season and beyond, I said forever young because I thought that was the guy then. And I still believe that he is the guy now. And also because it's so risky to bank on a guy that you don't know that you'll be in a position to get a year from now. I think Bryce Young is the guy that you take and you put all your eggs in that basket with that pick and then you do the rest of the draft, which still has the Browns pick and lots of other picks, and you still can fortify the rest of this roster and continue the process moving. I just don't think there's any scenario for me that I move on from taking, you know, a quarterback with the 1-1 and using it on Bryce Young.
What if it's the Lions? Like, what if it's the Lions and they have the Rams pick, they have their own pick? Now, you're looking at a top 5 pick and then a pick in the teens, maybe.
Say, they give them both to you?
Yeah.
It's enticing. It's worth considering.
A lot.
A lot to consider. But I still think that if you believe Bryce Young is a friend, because we talked about it, it's also the landscape of the AFC. You have to have a guy that's not just the guy, that has to be a top 10-ish type guy to carry you against the likes of Mahomes and mm-hmm. Herbert and Allen and all the guys in the AFC. So if you are convinced that Bryce Young is the guy capable of doing that.
Do you think Deshaun would have been that guy? Because he won 4 games his last year. Like, it takes that guy and a good roster.
See, I think in a lot of ways, Deshaun was overvalued. I think a lot of times Deshaun got overvalued because of the fact that, you know, he was physically gifted. He did a lot of things. He also made a lot of mistakes. And I think, everybody anointed him as a top 10 quarterback. When you look at it, the record didn't show that. He didn't perform with the team.
I mean, he went to the playoffs twice in his first 3 years. His last year,
that Buffalo game, he didn't do a whole lot to win that one.
No, but I mean, one game is going to define.
No, I'm not saying one game, but I'm saying, and maybe I'm in the minority on this, but to me, Deshaun Watson was a hell of a talent at quarterback, but I don't think in terms of top 10 quarterbacks in this league. And again, when we go back to our analytical discussion as it relates to even baseball, I can sit there till I'm blue in the face and you're blue in the face analyzing statistics. But a lot of those stats were inflated by the fact they were playing from behind. They were a 4-win team.
Well, I mean, his last year, yeah. When he led the league in passing, I think his stats were inflated. But he went to the playoffs twice.
He also had a great team around him. Pretty damn good.
Yeah, and also there was multiple teams willing to give up 3 first-round draft picks for him and then pay him $240 million. So other people also thought he was a top 10 quarterback. Brown certainly did, and every team that was involved in trades discussions for Deshaun Watson certainly
did.
But
I think until you see like a Mahomes-Allen type battles where you can see what they're really made of.
I think it's fair to say
really
he's not
on
that level. Yeah. I think it's fair to say he's not on that level.
Okay.
But top 10, yeah. 713-780-ESPN.
What does that say
ESPN
about the landscape of quarterbacks in the NFL then?
That some of the Mahomes guys that and Allen are
no,
great.
I'm saying at the bottom end of the top 10, there are some guys that are.
Yeah, I mean, many people had Stafford in the top 10 this year. We wouldn't have him in our top 10 right now. No. Kyler Murray was in that conversation. Russell Wilson was in that conversation. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's a top 10 quarterback. 713-780-3776. He's going to be.
We'll see.
Yeah, you don't think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback?
I don't know. I'm not convinced of that because of the fact that I don't know.
Did you think Jordan was going to be good when he came back?
In basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I did, but it's a different sport played a different way. I think that from the fact that you have to take so many hits and that it's so imperative that you stay in it from a day-to-day, the methodology, your body, how it reacts, all those things. And I'm curious to see there's going to be rust. Can he get rid of it over time? Is the rust just going to be easily gone in a couple of weeks and he's going to be back to himself? Or did he lose something along the way?
Q-Mommy on Twitter said, didn't he beat Josh Allen in that Buffalo game? It's a good point. 713-780-ESPN.
Different Josh Allen, too.
Yeah.
But yeah,
sure.
Fair.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Joe, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Listen, you guys actually it's still a little bit on my point, but I would be interested in trading the number one pick if the Lions came a-calling and they offered us their first two picks this year and possibly a second or 2 seconds next year. But I think with the young, while I appreciate his talent, I cannot get over the fact that he's not over 6 feet.
Yep.
And that does scare me a little bit.
Appreciate the call, Joe. Look, we have Randy Mueller on all the time, a former NFL executive of the year. He's the director of player personnel with the Seattle XFL franchise. He would say the same thing. He said, look, I can't get over the fact that he's little bitty. I can't get over the
Caleb
fact
Williams
that he's very,
much
very
bigger
small.
Than him.
He's taller, and he's well, he's not
an
much
inch or
taller.
Two?
I was going to say he's wider. I said taller for some reason, but he's much sturdier.
Okay.
He's much sturdier.
Bryce
now,
Young, that's a fair point. He's only 180 pounds.
Yeah, he's not much taller, but he's sturdier. He's stronger. Now, like Brendan, as Joe was mentioning all the Detroit picks that would be going to the Houston Texans, he became aggravated, annoyed, and probably wouldn't have done that.
He threw that headset on at about 0.3 seconds.
He did. He was
I
disgusted.
Actually think that the Lions' two firsts is the minimum it should take to even consider moving
Look,
out of one.
And, like, we can throw out these trade scenarios, and no one really knows what they are, blah, 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 blah. I think the point, though, is that the more you tack on to it, the more likely it would be to that you'd be okay with moving
more
on from number
it becomes.
One. You become more enticed to move on. So, like, I think everybody has a price when they're coming into the NFL. Once they turn into Pat Mahomes, and you know that they're Pat Mahomes, now you can't trade them. But you have no idea that they're going to be that guy when they come to the draft. And if you're turning down four first-round draft picks for an unknown commodity, I'd say that's malpractice. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you don't like quarterbacks in this draft, are there certain other quarterbacks out there that you would trade for? Retreads, bringing them in. If it's not Davis Mills, if it's not a rookie quarterback, then who? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O, his staff, they do a fantastic job because they focus on the patient's needs and they are focused on getting the patient's results. That's why I love what they do, because in a variety of different ways, if you are lacking in certain areas, you're not trying to win an Olympic gold medal, you're just trying to win the day. And if that means getting on a workout program or recovering quicker and not being sore after a workout program, or getting energy back in your life on a daily basis, they can take care of you. You need stuff for your smoothies or fat burners, they got that stuff too. They are focused on taking care of you. Your health is your wealth, and you got to invest in yourself, just like you invest in the stock market. You do that by going to the people at Apollo Men's Health. Check them out right now online at apollomh.com. When you do, you're going to find out there's a ton of services that they offer. If some of those intrigue you and think you might be interested, set up an appointment. Basically, once you sit down and talk to them, they are going to focus on your needs. They're going to tell you how they can help. They're going to put you on a program that works, and they're going to be focused on getting you results, which they get for you. But it's all starting with you initiating the process. And then once you go in there, you got to be honest. You got to have an open mind. You got to answer their tough questions. And you got to tell them exactly what you're focused on doing. But if you do all those things, they're going to get you results too. And I say too because they've gotten me results. They've got a ton of people that are listeners to this station results. And you could be the next in line. Check them out today, apollomh.com. Book that first appointment. Find out that most major insurance is accepted and there's discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then, like I said, let the process go from there. Tell them what you're trying to achieve. Tell them what you're trying to do and where you're lacking, and they're going to do the same things for you. Check them out today. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I think a secondary part of this conversation is that the Texans need a quarterback, right? Now, how much desperation do they have for one? Is it desperate enough where you turn down a huge trade package for number one? You don't go Bryce Young. You don't go one of the big three rookies, Young, Stroud, Levis. And now you're in a position where you got to figure out what to do with the quarterback position. I think it's fair to say, right, Hive, that Davis Mills will not be the starter for the Houston Texans in 2023, or that his successor, Kyle Allen, the guy that replaces him, he's not going to be the starting quarterback for the Texans in 23. Is it fair to eliminate both of those guys from the contendership of being the quarterback next year?
They are not contenders, correct, they should be eliminated. However, you cannot completely eliminate them. God forbid, injury or otherwise, something happens to successor.
Game. Yeah, the plan is not for either one of those guys to be the opening day quarterback 2023 season.
Can you imagine the Texans fan base and the excitement levels.
Yeah, they might show up like they're showing up now.
For opening day?
For opening day. Yeah, if, that would be the
Davis
difference.
Davis Mills is rolling out there as a starter next season.
Yeah, if Davis Mills is the starting quarterback, then there's no way in hell that the crowds that they're getting now are going to be there next year. People, they're going to be, man, no way.
People were saying that Davis Mills could turn into a top 10, top 15 quarterback sure were. At the start of this season.
Oh, they sure were.
You got to see under Pep. Under Pep Hamilton, Davis Mills could become a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. People were having those conversations. Those conversations were being had. But we don't like a quarterback in this draft. We're assuming, I mean, you name it, everywhere, yeah. Honestly. Mm-hmm. I would love to point just to Highway to Hell, but it ain't true. Like, it's not. I can't lie. I can't be dishonest. If you don't like quarterbacks in this draft, and we do. We like Bryce Young. Yep. So this is a hypothetical. This is, let's say, Nick Caserio, if he's the GM, doesn't like quarterbacks in this draft. What are some options to be the opening day starter for the Houston Texans when you kick off 2023 and it's football time in Houston? We've talked about, like, we mentioned Trey Lance the other day. We were at an impasse on what we would have traded for Trey Lance. Other quarterbacks that are kind of in that mold before you go journeyman type, like somebody texted in about Jimmy Garoppolo as an option, which has always been rumored in Houston, I think because of the New England ties. Like in the Trey Lance mold, Zach Wilson, I think, would be one that comes to mind if the Jets are like
Mike
over
White
Zach
keeps
Wilson.
Kicking ass.
And even if he doesn't continue to play really well, what if Zach Wilson just like pouts, they want to get rid of him, and maybe they go with Jimmy Garoppolo route with a good roster, he comes in, leads him to the playoffs.
Ties with Salah, too.
Yeah, I don't think the White thing is actually, like, it matters. I don't think it's the only thing that matters in terms of Zach Wilson's future in New York. Now, I think that Zach Wilson eventually, again, will be the starter with the Jets, but maybe he doesn't play out that way. I liked what I saw in a very, very, very limited sample from Jordan Love. I liked what I saw so much with the Green Bay Packers going nowhere fast. I would replace Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love as the starting quarterback, at least for a game or two.
Well, for a game or two, I understand it.
Now, Rodgers told McAfee yesterday
he's playing this week.
Yeah. He's going to play this
week. And he's also basically untradeable. So I think that at the end of the year, for everybody that's saying that they, you know, Rodgers is going to force a trade or they're going to trade him and then they're going to go to Jordan Love, that's a little bit far-fetched.
Or he could just retire.
He could retire, and that's the option that he is entitled to, but he's walking away from over $50 million for playing one more year. And I also don't think he wants to go out the way this season has played out, and he believes that he still has good football in him. So I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that you need to realize then what you have in Bryce in Love, and then understand that if Aaron's going to be here for one more year, okay, he's got 1 year left, Love does, of his rookie contract, and then you could franchise him for two more if you see things in him. But you've got to make a decision either way because of the fact that no one wants to waste the majority of their early years of their career just sitting there being a backup if he truly and others think he can play.
If Caserio, if the Texans don't like a quarterback in this draft, they're not going to continue on with Kyle Allen. They're not going to continue on with Davis Mills.
Right.
Do you entertain an idea if Zach Wilson's available, if Jordan Love is available?
Yeah, I'm exploring those options because, again, it makes you – because you still have to show progress, right? And you can't show progress if the guy at the helm at the most important position, as you've said, in sports, let alone in football, is a guy that could fail as miserably as we've seen Davis Mills and Allen do. So if you believe that your franchise and your roster is getting better and you probably at some point have to show at least signs of that, then you've got to have a competent quarterback that can get the best out of said players, especially on the offensive side of the football, that you're also trying to showcase as you move this train down the road. So I think, there's definitely scenarios where I would absolutely entertain a younger quarterback that, in a change of scenery, could still do the franchise well and do themselves well.
What's your favorite retread quarterback if you have to go that route? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, your favorite retread quarterback. Careful how you say that. I'm much of the younger generation than I am of the older generation. Like a few names that we kicked around in show prep, Geno Smith was mentioned as an option. I don't see Seattle moving on from Geno Smith. Even if he does, he's a little bit older. Not really part of the plan. Is he an upgrade? Absolutely. Is he part of a plan? I don't see that plan.
Where do you put the two guys in Carolina? Baker's still young enough?
On the unemployment line. I have zero interest in either one of those guys. I'd rather have P.J. Walker in Houston than Sam Darnold or
Baker
Mayfield.
But I'm not saying he's the guy that the Texans should bring in. I'm just saying he's young. He's been dealt a horrible hand in terms of the list of coordinators and coaches he's had. I'm not saying the Texans should look at him.
His coordinator's a bad hand with how lousy he is.
Fair point.
You know what I mean? Like, but what's the plan there? Like, if you're bringing in a retread, to me, you need to be doing a couple of things. One, who's, like, good at lifting other people around him up, which is probably, like, the veteran guy. Like a
game manager.
Like a
game manager. Like, yeah.
Like, somebody like that. Somebody who's like, okay, we're gonna bring these guys up a little bit because of who's at quarterback. He's just a good dude. He's a good leader. That type of quarterback. Not at Sam Darnold. Not a Baker Mayfield. Geno Smith, I think, is the perfect example, actually.
Well,
somebody who's
is it Jimmy G that guy?
Jimmy G could be that guy. Like, Jimmy G could be that guy. Now, he's going to be expensive. He's going to want a multi-year contract, which I don't want to hitch my wagon to an expensive multi-year contract for a quarterback who I think is mediocre. I would much rather take my chances on a young quarterback that has either failed or has not had a chance but is still young, where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we don't think this guy's going to be anything, but if he proves us wrong and all of a sudden he is something, then you got something. See, there. So Zach Wilson, he would be on that list. Jordan Love would be on that list. Not to the point where I expect them to turn into franchise quarterbacks, but to the point where if they do, I got something cooking.
Yeah, and that's the bigger discussion as the discussion goes on is, are you looking for a guy that's a young retread that could possibly be your franchise quarterback, or is he bridging another gap for you until you get said franchise quarterback another way using another means? In the draft, if the guy's a good enough bridge, he might prevent you from getting your franchise quarterback. You mm-hmm. have to make a trade. You have to trade up in the draft. You have to go into free agency. That's where I'm trying to define the discussion even further, kind of pinpoint it, because I think you could get some guys that are young enough and are talented enough to bring out the best in others. But I don't know that you're looking or should be searching for a guy that's going to be the guy for many years to come.
You could also go the route where a lot of mid-market baseball teams do when they're not going to be very good. The Pirates, the Reds, the Royals. Where they sign good middle relievers with the idea if they have a good first half of the year, they trade them. And you don't see this a lot in the NFL. And people, whenever you bring the, oh, they're playing Madden. Why wouldn't you do this? If you know you're going to be a 4-win team, why wouldn't you try to showcase a quarterback who has talent, who hasn't had a great opportunity in the past to, you know, try to flip them? Maybe, I'm not even like far-fetched saying you're getting a first rounder, but if you can get a third or a fourth, like, wouldn't you have been happy if Davis Mills would have fetched you a fourth round draft pick based on how he played in the first half of the season?
Yeah.
And I think Twitch has mentioned a couple of names here. Big C says Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is not one that I love. But if he played well in the first half of the season, he's tradable. A couple of high talent guys that have made tons of mistakes, haven't been very good overall production, but have a high ceiling. Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston. Like, those names aren't going to lead to winning football because they haven't been winners. But if either one of those guys has a good first half of the year, all of a sudden there's another team who's in playoff contention who has a massive injury. All of a sudden, you can use your money in free agency by trading one of those guys for a third rounder. I think that idea, too.
I think that there's no tread left on Carson Wentz because he's not the player he once was when he was up for MVP. He probably would have won MVP. And because along the way, it's not just been failures on the field. It's been in the locker room all the way up to ownership that have said, we've seen and heard enough of this guy. He's got to go. And I'm not sure that there's anything left there of value. Bridgewater's the guy that I brought up in our pre-show meeting because he still intrigues me as a guy that when given the reins for small windows of time, he's proven to be a decent NFL quarterback that can get wins for a team and he can make players around him better, capitalizing on said players' talents. That's a guy that could get you a year or two and do some things that can show you what you have and also set you up still to get whoever you want. So I think that would be intriguing to me. The other guys, I think, and who was the other guy besides Wentz?
Jameis Winston.
See, I think Jameis on the other flip side, the injuries would have to be a concern as well. But if you believe that Jameis...
But you're not looking to really win.
No, you're not.
You're looking to revitalize a career, hoping that you can flip it. Like, it's a
I think Jameis and Teddy would be guys that I could consider. I don't think Carson Wentz.
Who are the people that live in Waco? Chip and Joanna Gaines?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're Nick Caserio's Chip and Joanna Gaines trying to fixer upper. That's what you're trying to do with a Winston, with a Wentz. Because I'd rather go that route than Baker Mayfield. Like, I'd rather go that route of trying to revitalize a career and then with the idea of, like, I'm going to revitalize you and then I might get something for you. Go mid-market, lousy baseball team, how they bring in relievers. 713-780-ESPN. If you don't draft quarterback, you don't like these quarterbacks, you trade down, you're out of range for a quarterback, which retread would you be okay starting in 2023. 713-780-ESPN every Wednesday at 2. In case we missed it, the stories we've been dying to get to, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, we know sports betting is intense enough. You don't need to sweat out your payouts. I mean, thankfully, my bookie right now has a promotion going with no strings bonus, lets you cash in and cash out quickly. You can get started at mybookie.ag right now. Use that promo code I always tell you, bet975. Put in a deposit as little as $50 up to $2,000. You get a 10% cash bonus. Bet your deposit amount once, and you're ready to cash out. You won't find an easy bonus like this anywhere else with any of the other sites. It's no strings attached with mybookie.ag. Hammer the bonus on mybookie.ag so you can focus on what's important. I mean winning, right? It's always supposed to be about winning time and cashing in and making the most uninteresting games more interesting and then being able to cash out once you've capitalized on what you know. Amp up the fun and get in on the action. It's NFL, it's NBA, it's college basketball, it's college football, player props, and of course the World Cup, which is getting more interesting by the day. Take advantage of the cash-in, cash-out bonus. Use the promo code BET975. It's like I always tell you, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, but the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag with the promo code BET975.